Dr. Future, now on A View from the Bunker. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have no business messing about with science, or so many in the secular world would have us believe. However, it is interesting that there are many out there who are ostensibly secular, who are making a real effort and devoting a lot of resources to finding a convergence between science and faith, just not the kind of faith that you and I would likely agree upon. And one of the fellows who's been taking his background in science and as a man of faith and looking into this this area of darkness and seeing some very disturbing things is the host of the Future Quake radio program, which airs every weekday afternoon between 4 and 4:30 Central Time. That's GMT minus 6 on WENO, which is AM 760 in Nashville, Tennessee. Also, a podcast online at futurequake.com. Mike, Dr. Future Bennett. Doc, welcome to the bunker.
It is such a privilege and such a dream to be here. I now know how Buzz Aldrin and Armstrong felt when they had their dream come true. It really is, seriously.
Claustrophobic and, you know, cramped.
I brought my Masonic flag with me.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I read about that. Maybe we can touch on some of that, too, as we kind of cover what appears to me, and maybe my setup wasn't quite accurate, but, you know, it's showbiz, a real disturbing convergence between the New Age and evangelical Christianity, in spite of the fact that most secularists would argue that there is no room for faith and science in the same room. Again, there are a lot of people who are really putting a lot of effort out there to finding scientific ways to prove the existence of the supernatural. And we're not talking about the ghost hunters either.
Right.
Among the interesting things that you've done in your life, and with just an hour here, I don't want to belabor your, you know, just spend too much time on your backstory, because I think we've got a lot of ground to cover.
Mm-hmm.
I guess just to establish your credentials as a man of science, what about your background? What do you do for a living? What is it when you're taking off the headphones that keeps you occupied?
Okay. Let me just say a quick hey to all the pidoids out there. I don't know what you call them.
Pidheads, actually.
Pidheads.
Yeah, pidheads, yeah.
I want to thank every one of them. Future Quake as a radio show would not be where it is today without Pid Radio. Not only you and Sharon and the tutelage that you have given me and Tom Bionic in helping us at critical stages of our show, but so many of your listeners who are so educated and informed, and they are from your show and from other places they hang out, yeah, and they have been regular visitors and have really provided a foundation of listenership, and I just want to thank all of them out there and thank you for it as an aside, and always tell them they're always welcome. They're our kind of people, and we're sort of lucky to hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding my background, very quickly, I come from more of a science background. My PhD is in mechanical engineering from the University of Dayton. My undergraduate master's from the University of Louisville, all in mechanical engineering. I, for 16 years, was a leader in the scientific laboratories for the Air Force Research Labs,
mm-hmm,
in developing protection technologies, blowing stuff up, catching stuff on fire, that kind of thing.
Cool.
And now I own a company where I develop that technology, patent it myself, get it out in the field and sell it, and people are using it to protect military vehicles or police cars or race car things. So I come from that kind of area. Now, one advantage I had, sort of related to what you're referring to, is that I went the engineering track.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything is very mathematical and pretty much laid out. So whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, math is math. And that's because God laid out an orderly world. So we don't have a lot of these issues that are a problem. And I'll never forget in the back of my thermodynamics textbook, which is the hardest class I took in school, very on the last page of one of the hardest chapters, I'm plugging through all these math equations about the second law of thermodynamics, the two premier authors, they were two University of Michigan professors, on the last page of one of the chapters after going through all this, said that because entropy always increases, they admitted that there had to be a point in an origin of zero entropy, or mm-hmm, ultimate order. And in conclusion, they said, we have no other explanation other than this universe was created by an ultimate creator who not only holds the origins to mankind, but its future destiny as well.
Really?
And when I read that, this is the premier textbook for engineering that everyone uses. They just tucked that away in there. And it just was such an inspiration to me. But, you know, there's people who go in other sciences, like biology sciences and things.
That's Sharon's background, right?
Yeah, they encounter the evolution issue, and there's a lot of hard things where basically they've politicized science. And that's one thing that I really like about the directions I've got in chemistry and in mathematic-based science work is that they can't meddle with it as much on the political side of things. So it, only really when I got into the show here, you know, I was raised in a classic evangelical background. Only when I really rolled up my sleeves in the show did it really come up to have to deal with kind of forces and what they've done to our world.
So now, how did you come to faith? You know, my dad was an engineer, and it took him a long period of searching on his own to try to make things fit together the way they have to make sense for an engineer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's sort of the testimony of my co-host, Tom Bionic. He was raised out in the Bay Area of California, and he reasoned himself to faith after looking at all the world's religions and was exposed to everything. My experience was completely different. I was rather spoiled. I was raised in a Christian home with a mother and father who had a wonderful Christian example for me. Not only did they make sure I heard the word and heard it taught, but they lived it out. And so there was a consistency in their actions. And you know, it wasn't a perfect family. Nobody's family is. Very, very simple upbringing and raising. But I was always surrounded by a cloud of witnesses of people who taught the Word of God. You know, some of them may have been very simple and straightforward. But I always had that, even you know, my siblings, my close friends around me, other mentors I had. Really, I didn't have any chance other than to really embrace a faith that I grew into. Of course, we all have to have our own faith. We all have to make our own decision, and I'm no exception in that. But for those of us who've had that upbringing, we also have a great responsibility, because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much will be expected. Mm-hmm. And so I have really felt a burden of I wonder how much I have done with the investment the Lord has put in my life of investing all these people around me, sharing the word. And the radio show I do is just a small bit of it. That and in our, you know, work in our local church that Mrs. Future and I do, mm-hmm. Are the kind of things that we try to do to give back a little bit from the wonderful heritage we've had. So, again, long story short, I was raised in a wonderful home where it was understood the truths of the Christian faith, and never really had much reason or cause to doubt it.
So the work that you're doing now has somehow led to an opportunity to speak in front of an NGO, non-government organization, affiliated with the United Nations, and this is at the heart of what I want to get to tonight. Actually, by the time this airs, it'll be the week before last, I talked with Jeff Charlotte, who is the author of the book The Family, about a nominally Christian organization that kind of operates on the sly in Washington, D.C. and other world capitals, influencing politicians, they say, for the kingdom of Jesus, for the kingdom of God. And it struck me in looking at what they're doing and how they're doing it, and then the research that the amazing Constance Cumby has done on the ties between this group, the family, and the New Age movement through the Institute of Noetic Sciences, that there is more going on here than Christians are aware of, that there is a vast movement that reaches into the heart of evangelical Christianity and is trying to draw us into this New Age idea that we can create heaven here on earth. It's a New Age idea. It's also a dominionist idea, which is a Christian heresy in my view. One of these organizations that is working for this transformation is the International Institute of Integral Human Sciences. How did you get invited to speak in front of this group?
You know, it really had nothing to do with my semi-legitimate science career. Actually, and I cannot remember how I stumbled across this website, but I, you know, really haven't heard any information about it, heard anything from other sources, but somehow I stumbled on it. I was shocked at what I saw. Anyone can go to it at IIIHS.org. It's IIIHS.org. And when I saw this, I thought, you know, if there's any way possible I could get the gentleman, an Anglican priest who operated this, on my show, I would love to talk about what is on, what their beliefs are, stated on their website, versus biblical beliefs. Mm-hmm. And at the time, in the early days of FutureQuake, we were on a secular community radio station, which actually gave us sort of some opportunities, I think, to get more people like this involved and engaged. Mm-hmm. So I called, sort of a cold call, and he agreed to come on, and we had a very engaging discussion, but very cordial, about what their teaching is, and then we can talk about that in a moment here, versus what the Bible says. And I thought that was the conclusion of it, and had a lot of interesting response from our listeners.
I'll bet.
And a couple months later, I get an invite from them saying that they're inviting me as a keynote speaker for their annual international conference. And my jaw just hit the floor. And when you see the kind of people that are the regular speakers there that spoke, people like Sean David Morton.
People,
if people listen to Coast or watch the Discovery Channel, these people are household names. People like Dr. David Greer, James Hurtak, or excuse me, Stephen Greer.
Stephen Greer, right.
Yeah, Stephen Bassett. A lot of people, again, household names, people like Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut.
Co-founder of the Internet Institute of Noetic Sciences.
Right. Exactly, and also the IIIS.
Really?
Also involved in the finding of it as well, including some people like the Dalai Lama was involved. Pope John Paul has given blessings to him.
Really?
Yeah, you can see pictures of it. And in fact, they've got pictures of the Dalai Lama at the IIIS headquarters in Montreal there at their location, and all sorts of people like this that were involved in it. Yeah.
Now, this IIIHS, what is it that they're teaching? I mean, what you can glean just from a quick look at their website is that they're an ecumenical group, but is it more than that?
Well, it's very interesting when you look at their logo. Their logo is a phoenix rising out of the flames, out of the ashes.
Okay.
I'm sure there's no significance to that whatsoever.
No, just a coincidence.
But if we go along with that, I'm reading off their little brochure of the conference here. It says the International Institute of Integral Human Sciences is a non-governmental organization, NGO, which, as we know, pretty much runs the UN, the NGOs, affiliated with the United Nations Department of Public Information for the promotion of global interreligious and intercultural understanding and for the convergence of science, spirituality, and universal human values.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this group is sponsored by the United Nations and also the World Council of Churches.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, we tend to think of the UN as feeding people and they're hungry or help stopping border disputes. Well, here you have the main, quote, Christian organization that is in partnership with the United Nations creating what is, in effect, a new world religion. And, in fact, they even have their own religious order now that they're ordaining people into.
Really?
And creating groups. Yeah, it's called the Order of the Transfiguration.
Okay. I called that up and have that page bookmarked here for future research. What are their goals? I mean, are they just trying to bring different religions together to facilitate understanding between people of different faiths?
Well, the UN, and always it's really a political goal always, whether it's through the environment or whatever they're doing. And basically what they're doing is using the barriers and different religious traditions to try to find some way to overcome them. And I think what they settled on is actually creating some kind of amalgamated, which usually you have to take the New Age approach to even attempt to do that, to create a religion that people can all sign onto, and then that overcomes the political issues. But the key to know what they're doing is to actually understand what they're doing with this Order of the Transfiguration. They make it very clearly. It says part of the Order of the Transfiguration is the new monastics for a new humanity and a new world. And they give it more specific title here. It says they are actually acting through this group as a midwife for creating a new humanity for a new world order.
A new humanity for a new world order.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty explicit about the group. And The new humanity, you know, I'm sure you've studied the Pythagorean thought in things of actually taking the duality, the feminine and masculine concept, and creating the hypotenuse with this new entity that's supposed to be born out of mankind to actually be ready for the new Platonic society of the future.
Mm-hmm.
I know Chris Pinto talks a lot about this in his documentaries, and that's basically what they're trying to create. And if I don't want to get ahead of you here, but one of the things they mention on their site that really sort of cuts to the chase, some of the techniques they teach for people who are actually ordained into this new ordination of the Order of the Transfiguration, it says The convergence of human potentials with the mysteries of redemption is what they hope to do, and what they teach that they are developing people into is part of being part of this order. Actually pursuing visions, apparitions, mortem contacts with dead saints, invocations of saints and angels, prophecy healings, ongoing processes of personal revelations amongst the saints and mystics in the history of Christianity and other world religions, ancient and modern, and the nature and uses of ritual and sacramentals and other effective instruments of the mysteries of redemption.
So the name, the Order of the Transfiguration, are they implying that we can transfigure as Jesus did on Mount Tabor?
Exactly. What they say here is they're recovering the sense of the transcendent in human life. Members of the Order of Transfiguration believe that a serious and systematic study of subjects essential to the future of faith in God, Christ, and the existence of higher visit subjects is essential to future faith in God. And orders of invisible orders of reality which interact with human beings for their ultimate transformation into a new species on this planet. The Order of Transfiguration is founded on the belief that modern secular culture has lost touch with the inner psychic and spiritual dimensions through which the action of the formation in Christ promised in the Christian scriptures must occur. For this reason, the new order has been founded. And then later in the Mystery of the Transfiguration, it talks about the order celebrates the mystery of the transfiguration of Christ on Mount Tabor, which actually I believe it was probably Mount Hermon, as an outward and visible sign of the divine plan for our own ultimate transformation into, quote, new beings in Christ and for a, quote, new humanity in a new world order, which is a cosmic plan for human and planetary transformation.
There are a lot of words that I keep running across the last couple of weeks since I really started digging into this topic. Transformation, transfiguration, cosmic Christ, things like that. A lot of this language, especially the repeated name-dropping of Jesus Christ into this plan that they're outlining here, sounds on its surface to be not all that bad from a Christian perspective, unless you look at it closely. As somebody who cares about doctrine, what should Christians notice about this, and what serves as red flags for you in what this Order of the Transfiguration is trying to do?
Well, first of all, people should review books like by Constance, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, The Seduction of Christianity by Joanna Michelson and others, because you see certain buzzwords, and they don't have any problem throwing the word Christ around. But what do they mean by Christ? What they talk about are personal Christ. And I know where you were coming from on this transfiguration issue. They look at a personal transfiguration that is a personal internal change, not through the work of the Holy Spirit, not through a redemptive activity that happens external through the blood of Christ, but an internal change that is common with any other kind of New Age belief system, that basically looking inward for God, you can actually transform yourself. And they are to organize this on a worldwide basis to get us at some kind of new stage, again, for this, quote, new world order. Using the terms of mysteries of redemption and things like this actually shows the Eastern New Age connection that they're trying to use, but cloaking it in these words. I'll give you a case in point of what you're getting at here. The co-director is Dr. Rosner's wife, Dr. Marilyn Rosner. She is known in Canada as the top children's counselor in Canada. Mm-hmm. She's also known as the top psychic medium in Canada.
Really?
She serves both roles. And they have mentioned, and I've got one article out of one of their newspapers up there that shows she has different altars in the home to different gods. And one of them says here, a figure of Rosner's greatest guru, Swami Sivananda.
Mm-hmm.
And even he mentioned, Dr. Rosner, her husband, mentioned on our show, and it's archived at futurequake.com, that actually she channels this spirit. And I asked him about it, that she channels him to speak as her ascended master. And I said, how does this go with Christian teaching? That we're only to go directly to Christ through the Holy Spirit for illumination. And she says, well, when she says this, Swami, she's really talking about the Holy Spirit. She uses different words for different audiences and different people.
How effective have they been in drawing Christians into their movement?
Well, just judging from my visit there, when I actually, after much prayer and consultation with people like Tom Horn and other Christian mentors I had in my church and elsewhere, I agreed to go, although I felt it was going to be a point of tremendous spiritual warfare and challenge there. And I went and spoke and just tried to get to know some of the people there. And I would say a lot of the people there were post-Christian. They had had some exposure to the Christian faith and have rejected it to a large extent. If you look at numbers, they claim they have 10,000 active members that each run cell groups. So they're leaders around the world that run these cell groups as part of this organization, and of course growing every year, to try to proliferate this teaching and approach itself. Very interesting, a lot of these people were senior citizens. They were from Middle America. A number of them came up and told me that in their homes they had altars to the Babylonian Queen of Heaven and would bake cakes for her. Sophia worship was really big. I got in trouble actually with the UN representative, as a woman there, because she thought it was very chauvinistic that I mentioned that Eve, along with Adam, been subject to the fall, and that this was a very chauvinistic belief system, because they promote a rise in feminine, you know, the feminine divine nature,
right?
And in fact, that's what they show on the very front of the catalog they had for the conference I spoke at, which was entitled, the conference was called Reconnected Heaven and Earth in Spirit, Space, and the Human Psyche, and it actually shows a woman with a little halo with the earth in one hand, and she's got these six stars floating in her hand in the other thing. And then they have, like, Ezekiel's wheel, the flaming wheel, some of the symbols that they scatter around on it itself. So, you know, that was really the environment. The sad part was that a number of these people had had a bad experience in Christianity. One particular woman had had a bad marriage, an abusive marriage, according to her testimony, and the pastor at a more traditional kind of church told her that she just had to tough it out. And so she rejected the baby with the bathwater and went over to the other side.
Exactly.
One of the women, I will never forget, my assistant pastor of my church went with me, and she came up to us and told us how concerned she was about her son and that she was just really perplexed spiritually and in deep prayer about it, because he had actually gone and turned out to be an evangelical. And with all of her teaching, and she had tried to promote how they had altars to all of the gods of the world in their home and all of the other holy books. And he had actually gone and talked to some people in Colorado and had become just a follower of Jesus Christ, and had actually come to her home and thrown away the Quran and threw it in the garbage. And she was just worried. You know, she had the kind of tone I would hear of you know, parents at church who would be worried about their kids getting Satanism or the hard rock music. But her concern was because he was embracing Christ and was active in a local church. So it was just it was a real sanity check, you know, in the kind of world of the Bible Belt that I grow in, that this is going on. But these, again, these are middle American type people.
Kind of people who you just see on your way down to, you know, the local mall or McDonald's. And they turn out to have these little shrines to what we know to be actual fallen angels, not just pieces of wood or stone or marble.
You don't know what's going on in your neighborhood. You really don't know behind closed doors. And, you know, when we see communities, wonderful, nice communities that sort of have a cloud over them, it made me wonder if there's things like this going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Because if you read in Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 9, where he actually takes Ezekiel and takes him, the angel, takes him through the temple, and God speaking to him and say, look at all the wickedness that's going on behind closed doors. Behind the doors of the temple, they're doing all of these fiendish things, and some of it out in the open. And I just wonder if, in fact, that same kind of thing is going on where we were. You know, something that put all in perspective, and I was going to mention at the end of the show, but I'll throw it out there. I finally took the time the other day, while I was at home by myself and working something, I happened to see that our cable system had a copy of the original movie, The Wicker Man.
Oh, yeah, with Edward Woodward.
With Edward Woodward.
Right.
And I would challenge people, if you're going to find, I think there's got to be some appropriately edited copies. They take some liberties there in trying to be realistic and showing some frolicking and such. But
right.
The point is that it was a picture. It was, you know, as someone who's seen a lot of horror movies and scary movies in my life, it probably was one of the most disturbing things I'd ever seen, because it was a picture back in 1973 of what we're talking about right now, a post-Christian culture where the churches were gutted, where the sacred grounds were, you know, taken out, the cemeteries were de-Christianized, the churches were, and people were embracing this earth religion, mm-hmm. and the perversity and the involvement of it, and Christians basically had a mark on their head. And I suddenly realized that we're living in a day and age, and I think I'm going to write an article for this for Raiders, that basically we've got a wicker man waiting for all of us. That while they have very nice phrases, they call themselves light workers and mm-hmm. want peace and light, when you really find the true nature of the New Age movement, you find all of us Christians, they've got a wicker man that they want to sacrifice us in, every one of them. Mm-hmm. And we've spent a lot of time talking about other world religions, whether it's Islam or other monotheistic religions, and make them to be the really bad guys, even secular humanism. But I'm really starting to grasp that the real sleeping giant that's going to really give us the fits is the New Age movement, because these are people that are in willful rebellion. Mm-hmm. They know the truth. In most cases, they've actually been exposed to the truth, and they willfully turned away and trying to pursue godhood themselves.
Absolutely right. And I know we've talked about this before on PID Radio, and I'll refer people again to the interviews we've done with Dave Duncan about what he called the New World Order scam and the year 2012 scam, about how a coming backlash against Christians is building, and it may be through the New Age movement that it reaches its apex and comes crashing down on us as we get blamed, Christians get blamed, for what has been done in Christ's name by groups like the Family. And right. by the Dominionists, who have been actively supporting political answers to spiritual problems. That's not what Jesus proposed. He never said to the disciples, you know, forgive me for reusing this this example, never said to the disciples to go forth and form political action committees or to convert at the point of a sword. And yet, that's how the world, much of the world anyway, views us. One of the disturbing things, and well, before I get to this, because I do want to find out a little bit more about your experience at addressing this group, but before we, you know, lose track of time here, because I could talk to you all night, Doc, is...
Well, why don't we just do a lock-in here and have a 24-hour?
That's right. It's a sleepover. It's,
yeah.
The Institute of Noetic Sciences, I'll come back to them in just a minute because of their links to the prominent evangelical movement in the United States. Mm-hmm. But your actual speech, your address to the International Institute of Integral Human Sciences, what did you talk about and how was your talk received?
Well, as I mentioned before, the whole subject matter of the conference, of which I'd never been to one, had no idea what to expect, was entitled Reconnecting Heaven and Earth. And what they generally believed in the advertisements for it was that up to this point in time, the portals between this earthly realm and spiritual dimensions had been opened in isolated form by psychic mediums and channelers,
okay.
Of which what they saw some of the prophets in the Bible about were just merely that. And believe when I was there, there were probably 400 to 500 bona fide channelers and psychic mediums that were in the room. That actually will have entities come, take over their body, talk to them. And so they believe that's been the case up to now. But they believe in the very, very near future that the portals are going to go wide open.
Uh-huh.
All of humanity is going to get immersed in the spiritual, basically the gods coming down, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're going to come down and we're going to get in touch with our divine, and it's going to happen on a global scale. So what I did was, while all of the other talks talked about how wonderful that will be and how tremendous opportunities will happen and all these other things, my talk was about the dangers of when heaven and earth collide. And so if I can give you just a quick overview of it, I was very upfront with the listeners here. And in fact, I approached my talk as more of an academic style talk. Because my understanding at the time was at the United Nations level, these were theologians and other people, all of them basically all were PhD level researchers that we're trying to do serious research. I may have overestimated that a little bit once I got there, but that was the approach I took, was a very clinical kind of approach, just lay information out about the history of communications of people who we know now as famous people in world history that claim they received messages from contact from entities other than God.
Mm-hmm.
What was the nature of the message they got? How did it impact world history? How did it impact them individually? And I went from the very beginning all the way up through modern day history. And it was quite a packed presentation, giving all these different manifestations, and then talked about the order in the Bible. And as I was speaking to here, I was up front and telling them that I was committed to the accuracy, the authenticity, and the authority of Scripture in my discussion, and wanted to make sure that they understood that was my leap of faith up front.
Mm-hmm.
That was the lens that I looked through in the rest of the presentation that followed. And so when I got to the stage of looking at the Bible, the advantage I saw to them was that not only did it describe similar type events, but it gave commentary from a spiritual realm, a commentary of what was the significance of these contacts. And so the first one, obviously, was the contact of the serpent in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no surprise to you, our listeners, that the message given by the serpent was absolutely identical to the message that all of these famous world figures received, that they could become gods, that their eyes would be illumined and opened beyond what God had originally created them to do, and that all these opportunities were present. And as we well know, it didn't turn out as they had been promised or hoped. And so there's a whole host of these events throughout even the Bible, like the contact with the Witch of Endor,
right?
Other type of events that occur, as well as warnings that occurred that the Old Testament warned about. The fact that God even said that he would send false prophets amongst the people to test them to see if they clung fast to his word. And that even if great signs and miracles were done, that was not a sign that if they turned the teaching away from God's word, that was not a sign of God's endorsement just because they had great miracles. And then I concluded that, in fact, Christianity did agree with them that the portals between the spiritual and the earthly realms were getting ready to open soon,
mm-hmm.
but that they differed on what the outcome was going to be, and that the reason for the portals to be opening was a time of great judgment. And basically I concluded with saying that that the gods that the people had been contacting and worshiping were going to be led before Jesus Christ and bow before him before they were sent off to judgment in the lake of fire,
mm-hmm.
and that the soothsayers and vision seers and fortune tellers and sorcerers would be destroyed, and that their bodies would smolder outside the city for eternity.
So you were just the wet blanket on the whole conference.
Yeah, you might say it. There was not a pin drop heard for 90 minutes that I talked, and I sort of raced through it. In fact, if you want to hear it, it's right at the front of futurequake.com. I put my slides up there, and I actually have the audio of my talk. And you'll hear me doing a lot of oohs and ahs because I was trying to do triage with my material because they got me started late and I kept waiting for the cane to drag me off. And it was interesting to watch the murmuring of the people in the audience. But, you know, I said it in a way that attempted to be redemptive. And I just warned them. I said, look, if you all are fellow truth seekers like me, we owe each other to look out for each other to find out the hazards with these beings that are out there, what they're telling us, and find a way to test the spirits. And I said that we needed to make hard decisions and that our eternity was at stake based upon who we chose, who the good guys and bad guys were,
mm-hmm.
and tried to provide it in a way that provided them a positive end and option. And it was very interesting because at the conclusion of it, Mrs. Rosner stood up and asked for all of the spirit mediums and psychics to meet her at the front of the stage as soon as that was done.
What, clean up on aisle three?
Well, I didn't know if we were going to have one of those Elijah things, you know, the promise of Baal or what. I didn't know what was next.
Well,
I was afraid the wicker man was outside for me, actually. Yeah.
Well, I know that we were praying for you when you went to that event and have heard you talk about it in other venues, most recently on Tom Horn's new weekly radio program. And again, I can only imagine because, you know, as a longtime radio broadcaster who had to go out and appear in public from time to time at various events and venues, occasionally you'd run into a crowd that was a little less receptive than others.
Right.
But never anything like that, where you're basically walking into it. I mean, it would be like walking into, say, Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia and, you know, with a New York Mets cap on. It's just not...
Exactly. Or an Anton LaVey meeting.
Right.
You know, and coming to pass out scriptures or something like that. Yeah, I thought, how in the world did I get myself in the middle of that? But, you know, all of your listeners out there, yourself, all of our friends, people at our church, people praying for us, I felt that energy and power. And it was not the kind of energy that the New Age people were talking about. Mm-hmm. I felt the power of the Holy Spirit in an undergirding that I actually was getting cover provided to me in the spiritual realms. The only thing I couldn't understand is why me? Why was I picked? I'm certainly not, by any stretch, the most eloquent person to be able to talk. And I kept thinking the long list of people I would recommend, you know, people like Dr. Michael Heiser or mm-hmm. Tom Horn or yourself or people like Jones, other guys, that would do a much more eloquent job. And I for this point, I don't know, other than I had some other credentials in science and other things, and they served in my stead to create at least a one-time window and door opening. But I will tell you this, that after I was done talking, before they had a panel session immediately after me, we had people, representatives of all the different world religions, debate about my assertions that Jesus Christ was the center of everything. And a bunch of people came up to the podium, international people just out everywhere, saying, we've never heard this before. We've never heard this whole story. It done completely like what you did. Can I get copies of your presentation? Can I have it translated into French? Blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I don't know what will happen from that.
Hmm. Well, I will definitely put links, because I'm looking at your homepage now, and I'll put links to the presentation in the show notes for this program at PIDradio.com so that those of our listeners who have not availed themselves of the material, and sadly, I have not yet, so I'm definitely going to do that once we're done talking tonight, can
and
go
by
through
the way,
this.
I updated that with a couple extra slides based upon some of our recent research on DMT and what that plays in things. The SOFIA project is ongoing at the University of Arizona, because it all ties into that information. And I actually inserted that in a version that Guy Malone asked me to give at the Ancient of Days conference this past summer. Mm-hmm. So there'll also be the DVDs out there where I'll cover some of this material there as well, if you want to catch a little extra material there.
And we'll definitely link to the DVDs from the Ancient of Days conference as well in the show notes. Now, what's really interesting about all of this is that this veneer of science over this mysticism, and not just with the International Institute of Integral Science, but the all of these names are running together. The IONS,
Institute of Science.
Right, another institute, yes. Another scientific institute here.
Derek, if I could just mention to sort of close up on that, the IIHS related to the technical connection.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they emphasize, is that new sciences are being developed, that they're taking a scientific approach to merge science and religion together. And as a scientist myself, it grieves me to see science abused for these purposes. Mm-hmm. I know people like the Collins brothers and others aren't too keen on science and technology, and I find it to be a wonderful blessing, and wonderful Christians are there, but we're obviously seeing an abuse of it. But they really emphasize that in the other talks about using new techniques, means of measuring, evaluating experiences. You know, even Aleister Crowley did a lot of his stuff, his conjurings, from a sort of a pseudo-scientific standpoint, where he'd actually take notes and keep notes of what he observed. And a big part of that IIHS was the UFO cult religion, where you had people like Stephen Bass and Dr. Stephen Greer, who talked about people in Washington that were really into, like former secretaries of defense, people like that, that were really into this kind of stuff. And where they were, and, you know, basically how they used to have seances and things like that. In fact, even the Sleeping Prophet.
Edgar Casey?
Edgar Casey. You know, we had presidents in the 20th century go to his house in Hodgensville and get readings from him.
Yeah.
So the occult connection with leadership, you know, goes back a long way. But they're actually naming names at the conference of people who are really buying into this. Of course, there are. Rockefellers were mentioned. It wouldn't be an official meeting without them. Lawrence Rockefeller was the main guy really pushing the UFO disclosure through the Clintons. And all of that was talked about at this meeting as well, too. So I just wanted to close that with to say that, yes, they do make a major emphasis of science as being a tool to open up these portals, sort of like that movie The Mist that came out. Another one of my favorites, the Stephen King movie where the military decided they wanted a glimpse. The Mist, actually out about 2 years ago, where they wanted to glimpse
right, okay.
on the other side. And they opened what basically is the clearest picture of the abyss in the Bible that I've ever seen. I mean, the movie where you really get a feel of what it'll be like when that day happens. So
we're going to have to put that on our Netflix queue because I really just kind of dismissed it as another Stephen King horror film, and definitely going to need to put that on our queue.
I don't
to watch
this
that
other
yet.
Stuff normally, but it's something that has still not gotten out of my mind yet. What I saw in it,
and I noticed, by the way, back to the connection between the UFO quotes and IIHS. I noticed that there's a link to the Disclosure Project there, and the Disclosure Project is promoting an upcoming event called Contact Countdown to Transformation. Once again, that meme of transforming, transfiguration, something coming that is going to take humanity to the next level, running through all of this. And sadly, again, through the organization I want to get to now, reaching its tentacles into mainstream evangelical Christianity. The Institute of Noetic Sciences, tied to IIIHS through Edgar Mitchell, co-founded by a fellow named Paul N. Temple, who was associated with, has been associated with, the Family or the Washington Fellowship or the International Fellowship. They go by a number of names depending on where you're sending your donation check, apparently. Co-founded, this Paul Temple has been associated with the group since 1944, many, many years. Constance Cumby, through her research, discovered that Temple, through his Three Swallows Foundation, which is a charitable trust, is donating large sums of money to the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which makes sense because he co-founded it, but also to the Family. So what is the connection there? And it goes beyond that. Constance also found that Doug Coe, who is now the leader of the Family, helped co-chair and sponsor a couple of seminars and retreats for prominent evangelicals and prominent New Agers like Barbara Marx Hubbard and others back 1987, if memory serves. Again, it's been 2 weeks. I've got short-term memory. Anyway.
Or 89, something like that.
Somewhere around there. But the bottom line is that you've got some of the same players performing and serving in major roles in both very openly New Age organizations and at least nominally Christian organizations. Now, we talked at length about the Family with Jeff Charlotte a couple of weeks ago. The Institute of Noetic Sciences, which incidentally prominently featured in the new Dan Brown novel, The Lost Symbol. What is IONS? What is that group about, Mike?
Well, you know, I can only tell you what I've known so far, but it is an area that I plan to spend more emphasis and interest in. I'm trying to get them actually on my show. I'd really like to get them on. In fact, hopefully, and I may not be able to follow through on this, but hopefully I've got Michael Bajant lined up to come on the show. So I'll be asking you for some questions to ask him in that area. But regarding the Institute of Noetic Sciences, I mentioned off the cuff very briefly off the top of my head to Tom Horn when he asked me about him. I said, you know, we think all roads lead to Rome. Well, all roads really lead to the Institute of Noetic Science because when you start rounding up what I call the usual suspects, you know, in these places you go, you find these names, like I said, Paul Temple, over and over again. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I even just very briefly, casually tried to look up some of the significance of that whole Three Swallows idea. Mm-hmm. And it has an occult idea itself related to some offerings to foreign gods and offering to New Age gods. I don't know if you've looked at that or not.
No, I haven't, but I will.
But something that I'll tell you a lot about the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which is really, I'd almost call them the Bilderberg group of the New Age movement. They've got the resources, they've got the money, the organization. Of course, you know, they were started by Edgar Mitchell,
right,
who says he had a mystical experience when he came back from his Apollo mission. And that sent him in a direction, not in the way of traditional Christianity, but in toward some kind of alternative consciousness-raising spirituality. But if you could oblige me here, I'd just like to mention a few names of the people who are on their board of directors
okay.
are people who are actually affiliated in some staff position. And I think a lot of eyebrows may be raised. I just went and checked them before we came on air. Deepak Chopra
okay.
is in their group. You know, the famous teacher and counselor mm-hmm. on TV. George Zimmer, who is the owner of the Men's Warehouse.
Oh, you're going to like the way you look.
And when he yeah. says, I guarantee it, he is guaranteeing that you're going to be brought into a New Age God relationship. But the Men's Warehouse directly funds this particular group.
Interesting.
Paul N. Temple, who was the chairman emeritus of mm-hmm. this group. You've got, we found it, Dean Ornish, who you hear a lot in talk radio and things like that about medicine.
Oh, right, you know, okay.
Big medicine guy, Edgar Mitchell, Dean Radin. You've got Desmond Tutu. You remember Desmond Tutu, South African?
Most Reverend Desmond Tutu.
Also yeah. Reverend Desmond Tutu. And another gentleman who's now, I don't know if this is the same gentleman or not, but it's very curious, Van Jones.
Van Jones connected with the Institute of Noetic Sciences.
There is no link to find out further about Van Jones, but wouldn't it be a fluke if it was not the same Van Jones?
We definitely will look at that, and I'll post yeah. a link to what we find in the show notes at PIDradio.com on that one.
Claiborne Pell.
The guy who pushed through the legislature, the Pell Grants.
Yes.
Really?
Willis Harmon, President Emeritus. Willis Harmon was a guy who also founded, as I understand, the Stanford Research Institute.
You know, the Stanford Research Institute keeps popping up in stories about this kind of odd spirituality.
They sort of predate IONS, as I understand it. That's where remote viewing got started, all kinds
yes.
of psychic stuff. And, you know, I think the Russians even predated the Americans in doing this. You know, it's ironic we're having this talk right when we're going to have a movie come out, Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yeah, yeah.
That I think is about some of those early days when the government was looking at the psychic. But there, you know, there's a direct lineage right there.
Well, it's a movie adaptation of the book by British journalist John Ronson, which really focused on the 1st Earth Battalion of Colonel Jim Channon and the research into psychic warfare that was taking place down at Fort Benning, Georgia, under guys like Major General Albert Stubblebine.
Right.
Well,
right.
I believe just based on the preview that I saw is the character played by Stephen Lang, the wonderful actor from Gods and Generals and Gettysburg and anyway, but he's the guy who tries to run through the wall and of course bounces off.
Well, let me give one last name out here. Maurice Strong.
Maurice Strong. Canadian.
Maurice Strong is the. He is the globalist. He is the main guy. If there was one man who ran the United Nations, it's Maurice Strong.
Canadian almost. Politician, yeah, very, very, has been pushing a globalist agenda for a long time.
Now, this is a powerful group that has this kind of people affiliated with it. You know, I'm just giving you a little sampling of some of these people. There's other people who are leaders in their fields that may not have the household name recognition like these kind of names. But these are people who make things happen.
You know what is, and again, I'm going to go on the assumption here that there's only one prominent Van Jones in the country, and there may be more, but I mean, it's kind of a unique name. Wouldn't it be bizarre if what got Van Jones kicked out of the White House was not his affiliation with this occult organization, but the fact that he questioned the official account of 9/11?
Mm-hmm.
Just an interesting comment on the state of America. Well, so what is IONS? The Institute of Noetic Sciences about? What are they trying to accomplish?
Well, I really can't give you an exhaustive treatise on it because I'm still in the process of just beginning to pursue that venue myself. But
okay.
their general genesis is the same kind of stuff we hear from these other groups, although they're really the largely funded group that really has milestones and plans to actually make progress in this area. That what their goal is expand the consciousness of individuals and humanity as a whole, that we can reach higher planes of understanding and spirituality and raise ourselves basically to a level that we can reach our full potential and also maybe avert catastrophe by doing this. And they're using techniques, what they consider methodical techniques. They try to use scientific techniques of measurement and note-taking and giving papers and things like this. It's not quite the science I'm used to where you actually put instruments on things and you develop mathematical models and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They may do that in a clinical setting. For example, like Dr. Rick Strauss when he did the DMT studies at the University of New Mexico. He would actually take, you know, data and compile the data and do things like this. But it's sort of a touchy-feely kind of merging of science, you know, and the soft studies as well, too, so humanities. And so, but they're the people who really are going through and methodically going through progress in each of these different fields. And they cover everything, longevity studies of humankind, trying to make ourselves where we can live forever, contacting entities. And if I can mention just really quickly an aside, a group that has connection to them that I think you should keep your eye on is the University of Arizona has a laboratory for advances in consciousness and health. And a public university funded there, and a gentleman, Dr. Gary Schwartz, runs it. I think he appears occasionally on Coast to Coast. Mm-hmm. He has all sorts of connections with these people, too. And in fact, in one of the stories he relates, Deepak Chopra, who is the guy who's the counselor for everybody in the world, sold millions of books in trying to help people come up to deeper spirituality. He relates that Deepak Chopra actually came to him asking him if he could use spirit mediums to make contact with his dead father. And it made me think of the whole experience with Saul, you know, where Saul wanted to go quietly and secretly and have a contact with Samuel to find out what's going on. And evidently Deepak Chopra, who talks about all of these in-depth internal studies of consciousness, is going back to the good old-fashioned spirit raising when it really matters, you know, when he's not in the public eye itself. But this particular group has something called the Sophia Project. And the Sophia Project is expressly designed to have a methodical process. And the Sophia, it's called the Sophia Project of Entity Communication Studies, where they're actually having people sign up. If you're a medium or a psychic, or if you actually are channeling any kind of entity, in an external field that has a message, they're signing them up and they're methodically collecting all of the data and messages from all of them. Mm-hmm. And that project is underway right now as we speak.
Well, during the interview with Tom Horn, you said something, or maybe it was during one of your programs, and you and Tom made the comment that I thought was just brilliantly insightful, that all of this activity is just scientific research in how to become possessed. And I thought that smacked it right in the head.
Right. Well, you know, that sounds like something that my host, co-host Tom Bionic would say, because he has a very succinct way of putting it all together. But yeah, it is a sophisticated means by which to invite entities to come on board. And it reminds me very much of passages in Linda Moulton Howe's book of communication with higher consciousness. I forget the term she uses. And there's some letters she has in there. We talked about it when she was on the show about some people from the military, defense and intelligence area, who came through another friend of hers who wanted to talk to her and basically told her that the places where she was opening doors were things the Defense Department had already been through, and that she needed to look through the libraries to find out where the ancient Mesopotamian gods were and where they came from. And that's what the defense and intelligence area was uncovering. And supposedly this intermediary, who's a big name in the ufology, checked their credentials and found them to be legitimate. And so I started looking further. She had some letters in there that talked about basically what they had said and shared with her. I actually was able to find the gentleman that she was referring to, who's a wonderful Christian man, a minister, and well-known in ufology. Gentleman has tremendous credentials in the area. Got to know him. I sort of wanted to check him out myself, although certainly he had much more credentials than I do. But he seemed very, very legitimate. I was able to get other information that verified that people like this, there are people who actually have Christian connections that are witnessing things going on in the government that are akin to opening portals. That are opening portals, and they use certain physics books. There's some popular physics books out there, like Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, or things that are really deeper kind of things. They're using some of these new theories as a means to open dimensional portals, but according to the testimony of some of these people, they have had to go to ritualistic magic, like Aleister Crowley's work, to take it to the next step. And when they've done that, what they've had happen is not only are they taking a view at what these entities are, according to these government sources, but these entities are starting to take over the people who are performing the studies.
Well, cha!
And that they are, you know, back to what you're talking about, possession, to their rampant suicides of people participating and other kind of horrible things that are occurring as a part of it. And that these people have tried to stick around and witness as long as they could to just to send a warning. And so I shudder to think what is really going on in our halls of defense and other areas. You know, I've done classified work. I've had secret kind of things. I've been on places where military bases where there are doors that just have combination locks and no door handles. And tunnels that go underneath places where I've worked that who goes to who knows where. But that is just the tip of the iceberg of what is really going on. And, you know, and that's why I found a movie like The Mist so stunning, because the basic premise you find in this place is that we have an oops event where something, our curiosity gets the better of us, like Pandora's box.
Well, that will probably somehow work into a future novel in the Laodicea Chronicles series, just because there's enough evidence out there to suggest that something like that really could happen. And yet, if you try to put it out into the public arena, public square, people aren't going to buy it because it's just too weird. It will actually probably, like Dan Brown's bad theology, be more accepted and taken more seriously as fiction than if you try to put it out there as a work of nonfiction, sadly. But one of the things that really has disturbed me is that all of this activity on the New Age side, and then through some of these few tentacles that have been discovered and made known by the likes of Constance Cumby, reaching into evangelical Christianity and manifesting in the work of the Dominionist group like the Family, and I would argue also in the work of other Dominionist groups like the followers of the Joel's Army theology, and other Dominionist heresies. It seems to me, and I want to get your opinion on this to see if you agree or if I'm maybe straining too hard at my tinfoil cap here, that there is an area of overlap, a convergence between the New Age movement and this Dominionist strain, Dominionist heresy of evangelical Christianity. What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't know quite how it's all going to pan out, but definitely see the potential for a co-opting where someone rides in on the coattails of the Dominionist until they've done their bidding and then dispense with them, much like we see in Revelation 17, where the beast uses the Mystery Babylon entity until it has accomplished its goal and then summarily dismisses it and destroys it. And I would say that would be the most likely scenario, and that's one of Satan's most enjoyable things he does, is to exploit people for his purposes and then destroy them afterwards. And so I would – the big fear I have for folks like this, and my one of the strongest venues they have, you know, I'm sure you've talked about the Council on National Policy, which is really their Council on Foreign Relations or their Bilderberg group for the Dominionists, is that they have a real lock on Christian talk radio.
Oh, absolutely.
And they
– absolutely. When you get somebody like – Janet Parshall saying flat out that voting for a third party political candidate is antithetical to scripture, you know that there is no hope in mainstream Christian talk radio anymore.
In the amazing plans of God, she is on 3 hours a day, every day, before the Future Quake show comes on the same radio station.
Well, I know how you feel. I used to follow Sean Hannity on my radio show.
And, you know, constant war, constant setting up enemies. You see, the thing is, I'm no fan of Islam. Don't get me wrong on this. Every person who follows Islam needs to meet Jesus Christ to develop a saving faith.
Amen.
But there are certain groups like this that are being set up as the enemy du jour right now, while we've got other groups in the New Age movement and elsewhere who have their smiley face on. But yet when you read their writings, people like Barbara Marx Hubbard, it's very clear that their channeled entities are saying they're going to come in as the pale horse death and get rid of all of us.
Because we're holding them back.
That's exactly right. So we're being distracted by these other things. We're going out and spreading the gospel, going to these different people groups, sharing our faith, where we already hear reports the Lord's already working, even in visions, to bring people in these other monotheistic religions to the Lord, instead of focusing on that part of it, we're focusing on these other kind of issues, and we're doing the bidding of other powers that be. And so I think the way I would phrase the way you've talked about dominionism, anytime we try to use the coercive power of the government to bring in the kingdom of God, we stepped out of bounds of the mandate that the Lord is giving us. And that's, you know, he doesn't use that same coercive power over us. And, you know, heaven to think we would ever do that. And we certainly not going to make anybody any more moral by forcing that. Christians in government, I think it's fine. I think it's good if you help in a watch care group. You know, Christians have done wonderful things to get rid of slavery, to protect the unborn, all sorts of wonderful things. But we need to do it in a manner that protects all citizens, because that's what civil government is about, is protecting all citizens, of keeping each other's stuff off the other's mitts of the other. And that's really all it's there for. It's to pick up the garbage to make sure we behave ourselves. That the real moral advantage in getting humanity where it needs to be can only be done through the Holy Spirit, and typically as he does it, through the kingdom of God, through the church here on earth.
Amen to that. You know, the thing that really struck me in talking to Jeff Charlotte was his discovery through the time that he spent living at the Cedars, which is one of their houses, sort of a mentoring place for young up-and-coming members of the family, is that they don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming back anytime soon.
Right.
They believe that they need to physically create the thousand-year millennial kingdom here on earth. And therein lies, I think, the danger of the co-opting of Christianity by the New Age movement, because that's very much what the New Agers are teaching, that we need to achieve this paradise through our own actions, through our own enlightenment, through our own apotheosis. And I think through that convergence comes the Antichrist.
Well,
now that's my analysis,
that's right.
And certainly not doctrinal or scriptural necessarily, hopefully based on scripture, but that is something that is really concerning me of late, and the reason I feel really compelled to just keep beating this drum until
At a minimum, I think sets people up in that movement who are seeking a messianic figure on earth here to bring the kingdom, that they're going to hitch up to the wrong horse.
Exactly right.
And that's, and when Dr. Chambers was on our show a few weeks ago, we talked about that, that they're really set up to mistakenly embrace the Antichrist as the kind of Jesus they're expecting to look for.
Right.
Now, on the other extreme, we have the people who are just waiting for the rapture, and they don't want to do anything to help their fellow man or anything, because all they're doing is just cooling their heels until they get out of here.
Right.
And so they're just letting things fall apart, their neighborhoods, their communities. They just want to get out of Dodge if everybody else gets destroyed. If, you know, the more bombs that fall in the Middle East, better, because they're just getting out of Dodge. And so we've got two extremes that I think are displeasing to the Lord. We are supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be reaching out. We're even supposed to care about justice. The Bible makes it very clear it's important to the Lord. But we don't use the coercive power of the state to do uniquely Christian kingdom of God activities, because that can only be inscribed on the heart. So I really fear that. And the other thing you mentioned at the beginning of the show is that the actions of these groups are going to set us up for the backlash. We already have all the Department of Homeland Security stuff about right-wing extremism. I don't know if you noticed, but the week that that DHS article came out, we had three shootings in the country.
Yep.
Two of them that come to mind. One was in a Holocaust museum. The other one was an abortion doctor. We hadn't had stuff like that for years. And I can't help but think that that was not an accident that that happened. So I think the big setup is coming up where we're going to be scapegoated here very, very soon. It reminds me of that movie, The Warriors, you know, where somebody shot the head of the gang and suddenly they pinned it on one gang and they had to find their way across New York City. Everybody chased them. And I think that's what Bible-believing Christians are soon going to be.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Michael Bennett, a.k.a. Dr. Future, host of the Future Quake radio program, weekday afternoons from 4 to 4:30 Central Time on WENO, that's AM 760 in Nashville, Tennessee, heard all throughout Middle Tennessee and South Central Kentucky, and across the world the global reach of the internet. You can find the link to the podcast feed at futurequake.com. We'll put a link to that in the show notes, as well as links to Dr. Future's presentation, to the IIIHS. Fascinating stuff. And also, don't forget, he's also a contributor to the book published by Tom Horn's Defender Publishing, How to Overcome the Most Frightening Issues You Will Face This Century. And we'll put a link to that as well at PIDradio.com. Dr. Future, an honor, and say hello to Mrs. Future, Tom, Bionic, Merv, and, of course, Pyro. Sam T. Doxson says hello to Pyro, by the way.
Well, and I'll pass that on to him. And the next time you can't find any guests that have real specific expertise, I'm always glad to fill in the meantime.
Well, we filled an hour without any trouble at all, so look forward to doing it again very soon.
God bless you, brother.
We know him as Dr. Future, his secret identity, Dr. Michael Bennett. And you'll find all the information about Future Quake, his presentation to the IIIHS, and all of the show's archives at www.futurequake.com. If you have comments and questions for us, you can address those by email to radio@peeringintodarkness.com. That's radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Or you can leave us a voice message at country code 1-317-489-9350. That is posted to the website, PIDradio.com. You'll find that little graphic of me at age 1.5 on the phone. I guess a picture of my future. My dad always liked to show to potential girlfriends. That's at PIDradio.com, along with the show notes linking everything we talked about tonight. And next week, we will have a fascinating conversation with Susan Lindauer, the only woman arrested under the USA Patriot Act, incarcerated for many months while the U.S. Department of Justice tried to prevent her from testifying in open court about what she knew about the war in Iraq and about Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland. Until then, I'm Derek Gilbert. Thanks for listening. This is A View from the Bunker.